Die volgende gast is vir ons reuse voorreg dat sy tyd maak om met ons te gesels en binnekort op pad terug na Suid-Afrika toe, moet ek baie duidelik stel. En sy persoon wat se boeke 'n geweldige impak op my gemaak het, destyds toe gehoor het van haar boeke, haar heel eerste boek wat ek gelees het, eerste boek, ek sê weer, ek het al seker so dinkens 3 boeke van haar gelees. Hoekom ek kan onthou presies vir boeke nie, want ek weet jy vir video's en foto's en boeke en goeders ek al van haar gekyk het, maar Instagram te loop is hilarious. Maar Dr. Caroline Leaf, haar eerste boek, Switch on Your Brain, was een van die boeke wat mense vinnig laat verstaan hoe jou brein werklik werk. Wat gebeur alles in jou brein? Dit is so interessant vir my gewees. Dat 'n mens kan genuine daai gedagtes en hoe jou kop werk en so aan, kan jy verander. You can change gedagtes, maar ook jou brein. Die fisiese brein, neuroplasticity, is wat hulle noem. En 'n bittermerkwaardige konsep. En is my reuse voorreg, maar sy kom eersdaags Suid-Afrika toe. En ek gaan nou net vir die datums hierdie goeders gee, rondom waar dit gaan wees en wie saam met haar gaan wees. Maar hoor nou hierdie nie, hulle sê, so ek haal aan, hulle sê, a world-renowned neuroscientist, a terrorist kidnapping survivor, jy moet nou hierdie hoor, hierdie persoon vir 'n dekade lank toegesluit, verkeerdelik. Oké, okay. En ons gaan dan vir die saak wat ek gee, in a wrongfully accused prisoner walk into a conference. Dis eintlik die persoon waarvan ek verwys het, is daai tweede, ag, die derde persoon. Maar so dis die 3 gassprekers wat gaan wees by hierdie konferensie. Kan jy dink hierdie 3 bymekaar?
Jy kan nie onveranderd daar uitstap nie.
Verseker. So sy sluit nou by ons aan.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharonika.
Right, and joining us now, Dr. Caroline Leaf. What a privilege to have you on the show. I've been aiming to have this moment for a very long time. You're looking great. How are you feeling and how are you doing?
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be talking to friends from South Africa. So I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Let's get to that quickly because, I mean, you studied in Pretoria, if I've got my facts correct.
Yes, you're Cape Town and Pretoria, and I did all my initial 25 years of research in South Africa. I was born in Zimbabwe, and I've been in the States now for the last 15 years.
I love that
so
you... I love that you say that your initial 25 years of research, that kind of says a lot about the expansive nature of your work.
Thank you. I forgot that. I'm actually like 60 now, so I've been in the field for nearly 40 years. So it's a long time.
Can you believe it, eh? It's been a while. Right. So let's get into it. I want to pick your brain. See what I just did there. I would like to pick your brain just about the state of the world currently. Because I know there's like two poles. There's people that says, okay, it's a crazy time to be alive. The world is going mad. And you get the other side that says it's probably the best time to be alive if you take the role of technology and everything else. Where do you currently stand with world matters and where we find ourselves?
Well, I think that it's a combination of both. It's good and bad all the time, because if you think of it, every generation deals with something. And when you're in that generation, it always feels like this is the, because it's something new. So, you know, we're always dealing with something new. So this reaction is very normal, that you'll have the two poles and that kind of thing. So where I stand is that, it's normal. We life is full of challenges and we have to adapt and change. What I think is happening, though, in our current age, which I think is fairly unique, because every generation will have its unique reaction to what they're going through. And I think our unique reaction is that we haven't trained ourselves or taught ourselves or helped our children and adults to manage their mind and their response to what we've seen, because the speed at which we are changing is definitely very fast. And I don't like to say faster, because in previous generations it felt fast to them as well. But what I definitely see not happening now is the time that we used to spend in previous generations processing life, taking the time to, you know, stand and stare and really process. And that's a problem. If you don't manage your mind, your brain and body will get out of sync and you will have a lot of what we're seeing currently in the mental health challenges.
That's just incredible, because I'm literally sitting here like a doggy in the back of a car window, just nodding along, because I think Ruben and I have this conversation at least twice a day about the importance of that kind of breathing. And I know how important it is in your research as well, because we're just chasing the next thing without properly processing what we're dealing with now. And if we take a look at, I've always loved the title, how to manage your mental mess, kind of, because it's not about cleaning, it's about managing, because it changes constantly. But I wanted just to take you to what you said about children, because obviously that's where we have to start. It's a bigger conversation, but if you could just talk to parents for a second, to how to start with that.
Absolutely. Well, in the background there, you'll see that I've actually got, that's my most recent book, which is How to Help Children, Your Parents, How to Help Your Child. So my youngest patients were 2 years of age. I have four children. I've grown up with, in practice and in application as a parent, of helping children to manage their mind. That you can teach a child as young as two. So essentially what it is we're in an era where everything that feels uncomfortable emotionally is labeled as a symptom of a disease. It's called the biomedical model, and it's been very disruptive to our functioning as humanity. We've actually got worse, not better, with that model. And our children, especially Gen Alpha and Gen Z, are growing up with this thing that if I have some kind of sadness, or if I'm battling at school, or that there's something wrong with my brain, something wrong with me as an individual. And that's very unfortunate, because it's created a problem. We've got all the science showing that that's the wrong approach. We've got all the science showing that that's going to create more of a problem. We have the most medicated generation and all kinds of things, and people are, you know, take away the cell phone, take away this control. What we need to do is understand, as parents, that the best way to help your child is for you to manage yourself. It's for you to model yourself and you know, get educated and understand that it's okay. It's okay to be a mess. We need to be kind to ourselves. Our messiness is not who we are. It's because of adverse circumstances. So if you're being bullied at school and you feel scared and depressed and anxious, and you know, you're throwing your toys around, or you're fighting with your siblings or whatever, we understand that you can't do that, but that's not who you are. Let's process through. Let's find out why, and let's find alternative ways. So this processing, this acknowledging it's okay to be a mess, this processing through, and this reconstruction, we need to model that as a parent. So if you're having a bad day, or you're going through something, don't deny it, don't suppress it, don't think you have a mental illness. That's not science. It's incorrect information. What you do is you tell your kids, I'm sorry I yelled at you, I'm sorry that I'm feeling very worked up, and I'm very sad, and I know I was yelling, and I've got this like sore tummy, and it's influencing how I'm, it's making me kind of look grumpy and seem not like myself with you. But you know, there's a reason why. So notice that I've described emotions, behaviors, bodily sensations, and perspectives. You may not have noticed that, but that's what you do. You literally tell them four sentences about those things, and then you then reflect, okay, why? Well, I don't know, that, you know, this, I'm feeling like this because of, and you start looking for the because of, and you move into some sort of a mindstorm, and then you can say, okay, well, this is what's happened. I'm like this because this has happened at work, and this is going on, but this is not because of you. This is because of what I'm, and I'm going to do this, and then here's an action. So in other words, you model, and I've just quickly, very quickly walked through a process that's called neurocycle, which is based on my research on how thoughts brain and how you can manage. But you model that, and then when you model that, you then help, you then giving them the permission and the space. Okay, well, mom, dad, whatever, also battles, and that's what they're doing. They're not just battling or suppressing or fighting, they're actually acknowledging and then going through a process. Children will do what you do, and that works beautifully.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.
If you've just joined us, we're talking to Dr. Caroline Leaf, that will be joining us in South Africa very soon. I cannot wait to see or to attend the conference as well. But let's get to this, because you briefly touched on it, neuroplasticity, because that's the first time I heard about it when I read your first book, Switch on Your Brain, and going through the whole process of changing your mind, how the brain can also change. It was crazy for me to read it for the first time, because I know I can change my mind, but can I change my brain and actually how it works? And I mean, you used many examples in the book, especially with the young lady that had brain damage after an accident, if I can remember correctly from the book, and how she outperformed, well, she caught up, if I'm correct, with the rest of the kids after being out for a while, and how she just excelled purely just by changing the brain by neuroplasticity.
Absolutely. Well, you're touching on a really important and a favorite subject of mine, because basically our brain and body are plastic. So we must remember this. We mind, brain, and body. It's not that the brain is the same as the mind. They're separate. And in today's discussions, people often think, because of the biomedical model, that the brain is the same as the mind. So neuroplasticity is the fact that the brain can be changed. And plasticity is the fact that the brain and body can be changed. So in other words, you're never the same because your mind is never the same. Your mind is the driving force. Your mind is this life force that makes your mental functions work. So having this conversation, appreciating a sunset, loving, going through hard stuff. And the mind drives all of that. And the mind also drives how your brain works and how your body works and how your heart's beating. So right now, it's your mind that's making you work. When you die, your mind moves out of you, spirit, soul, whatever you want to talk about it, and the brain and the body disintegrate. So therefore, if our mind is changing, because the mind uses the brain, the mind puts it literally like the mind takes this, your mind is taking this conversation and putting it into the brain and into the body and forming a network between the mind, brain, body. It's like a little network all connected, looks different in the brain, different in the body, different in the mind. And that network is what drives us. Every experience we have becomes this network, and that's what's driving us. And the stuff we think about the most is the biggest, and that's what drives us the most. So plasticity, the concept of plasticity is that if I can recognize the impact of my experiences that have been processed in such a way into this network, and if I can recognize that maybe I didn't process them so well, or maybe it was traumatic, or maybe I just didn't manage it properly, and this is what it's doing, if I can train myself to recognize the symptoms of that, the signals of that, then I can change that. So my mind changes the brain. Wow. And changes the body and changes the mind. So plasticity is this change thing. And we the agents of change. That's the thing. It's all related to free will, to choice. And that's a huge part of my work is how do you make that change? How do you get into making those choices? And how long does it take to create sustainable change? So that's plasticity. Mind changes brain and body. Brain can't change itself. Body can't change itself. When you're dead, nothing changes. It just disintegrates. It's the mind that's doing the changing.
Wow. That's just like, I'm blown away by what you're saying right now, because at the end of the day, all this to me comes back to also what's important in your research is identity and knowing yourself. And this is something that we focus on a lot as well. So could you talk to us a little bit in terms of, especially right now, you've referred to it earlier as well, we've got so much coming from external places that, and you speak to it as well, as kind of, if you take your inner self and not to push away, but kind of prioritize that above all the other noise, that's finding identity quicker. But how can we make sure that finding our identity is actually taking us on the right path and not being influenced by too much of the outside noise?
So good. So when we have all this outside noise, it's so much stuff. And that so much stuff, we tend to then be very surface. So we get thrown by that social media post, by what everything that you just described. We're not designed to, we're not structured. Our psychoneurobiological network, mind-brain-body network, is not structured to just be bombarded. It is structured to get information. It loves bombardment, but not just bombardment. It wants bombardment, and then it wants to take that and think deeply. We are deep-thinking, brilliant humans. Humans are brilliant. We're deep thinking naturally. So when you remove the deep thinking, which can happen when we just keep bombarding, it's just more and more and more and more and more. If you don't stop and go deep, that's when our identity starts getting very crushed and we can get stuck. If you can imagine a massive forest of trees, that is kind of what life looks like inside your brain, with healthy ones and dark looking ones, and you're nodding your head. So you've heard me use this analogy. What can happen is if we just bombard, we know our mind-brain-body connection can build all these trees, because all that bombardment becomes trees in our brain, hedges in our body cells, and waves of energy like wind blowing through the trees in our mind. So three places, we have three places that we store life. Now, if it's a constant bombardment, but we don't take time to really get that tree established, think too deeply, question it. If this is like toxic information, do I want this in my brain? If we don't do that, then our identity starts getting very tangled and we will get stuck in this, imagine a dark cluster of tangled trees, and we'll start getting stuck there and we'll start feeling bad and we'll start looking for quick fixes and get into bad habits or get into addictions and that kind of thing to try and help us cope with how this makes us feel. And if we don't train ourselves to stand back, which we are able, we are skilled as humans, but we can get so stuck in that tangled web and we just, you know, if we start peeking out around the corner, we see a little bit of a light and a beautiful green tree there. But if we don't force ourselves up and get into the healthy part and stand back and observe the messiness without judgment and with kindness, we'll get stuck there. And that's what's happening to a lot of to all of us. And we can learn to change that, and we can learn that's the whole plasticity and the rewiring. But that really affects our identity, because if you sit in that tangled mess, that's not who you are. That's who you become, and that's key. So a huge part of my work is to help people to recognize that's not who I am, because people that battle with addictions, that land up taking extreme decisions in their life, they are so stuck in that entangled web and they're on this cycle where they just can't get out and their identity gets shot. When people lose their identity, where they lose their value, they'll think they're not enough. And that's when we have suicides. That's when we have real extreme addictions, extreme depression, et cetera, which are just identity gets shot. So identity is massive. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
That's incredible.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika.
Let me tell you, I mean, John Bevere, Pastor John Bevere, once I watched the preaching of his, and he mentioned, he said, addiction, he classifies as the need to be loved and accepted, like the core root of that. And it was so beautiful for me. I really, it resonated with me that. So what is your take on addiction? Like how does one approach, you know, if you want to tackle addiction, if you recognize that there is an addiction, secondly, to approach that and using neuroplasticity or the brain or the mind, how do you bring this together to overcome addiction?
Massive question, but I'm going to give you the brief sort of the Cliff Notes version of that. So addiction, and it's such an important question. Everyone to a certain extent has some addiction to something, and there's good addictions. And in fact, the most important addiction we have is to love. So as humans, we are addicted to love. So that's wow. Like our primary loving.
There it is.
So addiction's not a disease, and addiction's not a bad word. Addiction is a set of behaviors that is always drawing us back to love. And when something happens, that terrible thing in life, and it disrupts us, and if we don't allow us, that's why I'm so hot on helping kids from very young and helping people all the time, because it's never too late to get out of an addiction. Because an addiction is a set of behaviors that is a coping mechanism in the moment of when something happens. And if it's not processed, it will become a pattern. And people that get stuck in those addictive behaviors, they tend to feel, especially because of the unfortunate messaging that is received through the media, that in the psychiatric world, that it's a disease. People feel hopeless and they feel very, very stuck. And they feel like they've lost the ability to choose. But it's choice, research shows. And gut instinct, if we really dive deep into our spiritual part of us, gut instinct and research specifically shows us that 96% of people, up to 96% of people, get out of addictions through choice. Choice is key. And what's been removed by the busyness of life, what's been removed when we don't think deeply, what's been removed when our identity becomes shattered, is this feeling of choice. I don't have choice. And when people feel they don't have choice, that pain is so great, the identity pain is so great, that they feel stuck, and then the addictive behaviors increase. So it is absolutely vital that the message is broadcast globally, and this is why I'm so passionate about this, to help people to recognize the power of choice and how to help people find the ability to choose, because that's how we conquer addictions. Because addiction is just keeping you stuck. It's a behavior to help you cope, but it's not sustainable. It just keeps you stuck.
So good. I cannot wait to attend the conference. I know we don't have you for a very long time. I know you're very busy. Firstly, thank you so much for making time for us. You mentioned earlier about the trees. I hope that you bring in those two trees, because that was visually, that was one of the best examples, like you mentioned earlier. And up until today, every single time that I've got a difficult or a dark dark thought, I keep on remembering that the green tree and that wire tree that you've got using as examples. So I'm hoping I want to take a selfie with both of those trees. But
I will.
So Dr. Caroline, what can people expect from the conference when you come to South Africa? Because I mean, the intro to this is incredible. A world-renowned neuroscientist, a terrorist kidnapping survivor, and a wrongfully accused prisoner walk into a conference. That just sounds incredible.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to give the kind of the rundown that we've done now, but I'm going to give the in an hour, which is not enough time, but it gets the idea going. I'm basically going to explain what the mind-brain-body connection is and how we have this ability to choose and to rewire the brain, and a brief introduction to the neurocycle. So it's going to be practical, but obviously I can't cover everything. And I do have an app called the Neurocycle app, which is all my years of work and whatever and research. And I still research and constantly updating, because you can never know. It's an ongoing learning process. But that is something that people, because you're not going to learn everything in a conference. It's just a catalyst. It's just a start process. They can then get the app where I walk you through it and so on. Then the other speaker, Rusty, who I've spoken with before, has a great story. So it's just see that practical application of how he made that choice and whatever. So I think it's going to be a great example of the science, very practical, because I do make science very simple, and the how-to and the truth about what we can do, and then to see that being applied in a story, I think it's a very powerful combination.
Absolutely, because I think also to that end, with regards to the practicality of it, what's so important is you saying that updating it, because of course this is something that can lead people and help them. But at the end of the day, I think your research has always been there to equip people to know themselves that well and to be so trusted with their identity that this is a journey that they can take with any challenge in their lives. And I know especially why Ruben is such a fan is he uses what you teach every single day, and he's used it through some of the toughest times in his life.
That's amazing. No, that's amazing. It's a healing journey. And that's one of, I just published a paper very recently, and I'm writing another book at the moment, but it's a healing journey. And that's one of the things I will be talking about at the conference, is that we've been told that quick fix, if you feel something, it's a symptom of a disease and suppress it. And it makes people feel worse. It's actually increased, not decreased, the mental health stigma. Everyone is messy. Everyone's battling. Everyone's a little crazy. It's okay to be a mess. We've got to teach people how to manage, not suppress the mess. And that's what my goal is. And there's a journey that you go on. And if people understand that, for example, you may feel great one day around week one, but week two, you'll feel terrible. And in week 28, the 28th, day 42, for example, into a 63-day cycle, because it takes at least 63 days, which is 9 weeks, to rewire a network. And if you're dealing with a trauma, it's multiple cycles. That's why I've got the whole neurocycle and the app and everything to walk people through. But very often people think, okay, well, I feel good after 3 weeks of working, but you're going to crash after that. There's ups and downs on the healing journey. And a lot of people will crash around day 28, day 42. And if you don't know it's coming, people then give up and they think that they've got worse and they get all kinds of identity crisis issues. But if you know, okay, this is the day to be prepared for, this is what's going to happen there. And that's what that's what I teach, and that's what I will be talking about, and be updating that in our app as well. And if you know this is coming up, if I know I'm going to feel really bad and this is going to happen, I'm prepared. And then I don't feel bad about myself. I get tools in place to manage that process, and that's really important.
And also, lastly, just before we let you go, thank you so much for the great laughs on Instagram. I love your stuff that you post. It's unbelievable. I can't wait to see the new stuff from Dr. Caroline Leaf every now and again. So again, all the books are available. I mean, some of my favorites, Switch On Your Brain, Think and Eat Yourself Smart, The Perfect You, Think, Learn, Succeed. I mean, all of those books are brilliant. You said now you're writing new books, so please go and check out Dr. Caroline Leaf's website, and also she's got an active podcast. I love the podcast, because there you can dive deeper into all the different topics, and it's so vast. I mean, you've got 18 books in total, if I've got my sums correct. I don't even know if this book is part of the lineup, but I mean, it's just incredible the stuff that you can talk about. There we go. Yeah, that's how to help your child clean up.
That's the main one, cleaning up your mental mess. This is the one that came up. Book number 18. Oops, sorry, I'm moving everything over. Sorry about the noise. That was book number 17, and then this is the children's version, was book number 18. And I'm busy with book 19 and 20, and it's in 24 languages. So, And then the app is the NeuroCycle app. So if people are interested, it's easy. iTunes, Google Play.
There we go.
Whatever.
Go and get that. Wow. Dr. Leaf, I wish I had you for like every single week for like an hour just to talk to us.
Can you just not be the voice that wakes us up in the morning at 4 o'clock? I think our lives would be a breeze.
It's a good idea. Maybe we should be doing that. It's a good idea.
Add it to the app.
Dr. Leaf, can't wait to meet you in person, and we're looking forward to thank you for your time and chatting to us this morning.
I'm looking forward to meeting you in person as well. That's great. Will you be at the conference?
I'm going to be there, not missing it.
I love it. Thank you so much. Well, I look forward to meeting you.
Dr. Caroline Leaf, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Hi. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Doctor, thank you. Sorry, that's perfect.
All right, so we're just going to wrap it. Dames en here, it was Dr. Caroline Leaf. All right, as jy die onder uit gemis het, en jy wil graag weet, luister, is dit morgen vakansiedag? Is
ek uit, ek kan nie.
Wat ek nou gesê het,
as jy die onder uit gemis het, nee,
ja.
Gaan ons om vir jou podcast laai, en hy gaan ook vir jou later beskikbaar wees op Groot FM YouTube. Ja, en met jy allerhande plekjies wat jy kan sien hoe mooi is.
Kom, ons gaan dit aan.
Maar as jy nou ook daar wil wees.
Ja. Okay, ja.
Ons het daarna gepraat oor die spesiale gaste wat saam met haar gewees was. Center yourself, Jaronike. So boon behalwe Dr. Caroline Leaf, iemand wat ek baie opgewonde is oor is Jolandi Kokkie. Natuurlik die skrywer van 558 Days. En as jy nie weet wie dit is nie, sy was 'n gijslaar van Al-Qaeda. En dis net 'n ongelooflike storie van krag en van uithou vermoë. En net belangrik, kyk daar is konferensies reg oor die land. Sy gaan wel by Johannesburg en Kaapstad een wees, so jy is gelukkig dat jy al gaan vang hier in Johannesburgse konferensie.
En dan ook gaan een van die ander sprekers is Rusty Labuschagne, as jy nie weet wie Rusty Labuschagne is, hoor nou hierso, verkeerdelik toegesluit vir 10 jaar in 'n tronk in Zimbabwe, vir iets wat nie gedoen het nie.
Dit is belaglik.
En hy moes hele paar goeders daar ook in, dit gaan ook oor hoe hy in sy kop deur hierdie goeders werk. Hy weet hy is onskuldig, en hier sit hy 10 jaar lang in 'n tronk. En dan natuurlik, Dr. Caroline Leaf. Okay, so, kry jouself daar uit.
Saterdag 4 Mei, dis hierdie saterdag wat nou kom, is by New Life Church, dis daar in Sandton, en wat jy kan doen is, jy gaan healingtoliving.org, healingtoliving.org, dit is die webwerf, jy sal sien, die konferentie se naam is Rewire Your Brain, One Thought at a Time, die vrou is ongelooflik, en ek dink sy kan regtig verskil maak in jou lewe.
Die Groot Breakfast, met Ruben en Sharonika, op Groot FM 90.5.